Kids were born. I certainly do. After all, it is often held up as one of the formative moments in people's lives. A life-changing moment, isn't it? We talk about the miracle of childbirth and the joy of parenthood. All true. All true, of course. However, it comes challenges and indeed, for some, a dark side. Well, new research suggests about a third of people who have given birth in the past 5 years find the experience traumatic. Well, the Australasian Birth Trauma Association, which published the research, says more needs to be done to support health professionals and parents. Amy Dawes is the CEO and co-founder of the Australasian Birth Trauma Association, and she joins me now. Amy, thanks very much for your time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about this research and what prompted it.
Yeah, well, we're a small charity. We've been running for 6 years. And, you talk about birth being a life-changing event, and of course it is. And it's incredibly confronting to associate something that society perceives as a happy event with trauma. But as our research indicated, for many individuals, that's what it is. And we really wanted to highlight that and raise awareness and let parents know that there is support available.
What does trauma look like, and in what forms does that trauma come, and how can that manifest itself on those suffering it and those around them?
So trauma is entirely individual. So For some people, what may be traumatic could be completely not traumatic for another person. What we say birth-related trauma is, and the reason we call it birth-related trauma, is it's because it's psychological and or physical trauma that can occur during the, on your journey to parenthood. So that could be conception and difficulties conceiving. That could be pregnancy difficulties, such as challenges with hyperemesis or gestational diabetes, so conditions that we're not really aware of. And then parents can go on to have a traumatic labor and birth experience, where they have interventions such as emergency cesareans or instrumental deliveries, or maybe it's their experience of how they were treated during the labor and birth. And then there's the postnatal period, where we might experience separation from baby, and that could be a baby being in special care, or it could be baby having to go to a completely different hospital. It's a big trigger for trauma for many people that we support. It could be ongoing complications such as physical injuries. So there are many ways in which people can be impacted, and it can often be what I refer to as a cascade of vulnerabilities. So you might experience a number of these occurrences throughout your pregnancy and birth experience, but no one is talking to you about it and validating your experience. And that sort of feeds into the psychological impacts, and that's why it is so important to talk about, because also acknowledging that trauma can sometimes feel like a really big word, and we really want to highlight that you don't have to necessarily go through a near-death experience or your baby to go through a near-death experience for you to feel traumatized.
And Amy, how much is that trauma also shaped by and deepened by, for some, a sense of shame as they say to themselves, this is meant to be the happiest moment of my life, and this is supposed to be sheer joy. Why am I feeling like this? So how much does shame also feed into the trauma?
I think that is such a brilliant question, because shame is the biggest, well, it's what we see a lot, shame and self-blame. If only I'd done this differently, if only I hadn't done this, if only I'd known. And people don't know what they don't know until they know it. And interestingly, our colleagues at Panda had done some really interesting research earlier this year, which indicated that shame can be some of the biggest triggers to really, really unwell, being really mentally unwell, and talking about perinatal suicidality, which is really big. It's a really big topic, but it's so important to talk about, because that shame prevents people from seeking support. They feel like they're the only one, and it's so important to know that you're not alone, and there are other people that get what you're going through, and there are people that can help you towards that journey to healing as well.
That figure where you found that about a third of those who had given birth in the past 5 years had found the experience traumatic, even with your knowledge and experience, how surprised were you by that figure, and indeed, how surprised, indeed shocked, do you think the community would be to know that so many among us have experienced this?
I wish I could say I was surprised. It's been an incredibly deep learning process for me going into to launching this organisation. I just didn't realise how far-reaching this was. And in fact, birth is a possible traumatic event, meaning that it can result in symptoms of post-traumatic disorder, was only recognised as recently as 2014. So there's still so much learning to be done. But in our particular survey, actually, it was 1 in 3 women viewed their birth as traumatic, but 1 in 10 said their experience was extremely traumatic. So that is incredibly confronting, and it really highlights the need for improved education and improved access to support services as well for both birthing parents and health professionals as well.
In regard to that, those two matters you raised there, in regard to particularly support for both health professionals and parents, how should that be shaped, or how could that be structured, and who does it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's many catalysts that cause birth-related trauma. So very early on, we identified that lots of women felt that they went into birth feeling like they were really prepared for birth, and then completely blindsided by things that have occurred. And so that's a massive one. If you feel prepared, and then you have a poor outcome, and we know statistically that 1 in 5 women will end up requiring an emergency cesarean. We know 1 in 4 new mothers will have an instrumental delivery. We know that these can potentially mean a poor outcome for their psychological well-being, their physical well-being, but we do not measure maternal birthing outcomes. And I think that is a huge, huge gap in how we're caring for parents, because we need to measure a birth outcome beyond those discharge notes. We need to check in with women at 3 months postpartum. We need to check in at 6 months and a year, because otherwise people fall through the gaps in healthcare. They're not seeking support for trauma because they're so focused on looking after their baby. And also, I'm talking about women, but it's really important to acknowledge that birthing people, fathers and non-birthing parents, can experience birth-related trauma from witnessing a traumatic experience. So we need to check in on the family unit, and that just isn't being done.
Didn't that used to happen? Didn't a nurse used to come around to new parents' houses and say, "How are you doing? How are you going?"
Yeah, I mean, that was my experience as well. So up to 2 weeks, I think, depending on your model of care, it might be extended up to 6 weeks. That's too soon. They might be experiencing symptoms of trauma at this stage, but we're so focused on establishing breastfeeding. Potentially we're trying to keep this little being healthy and well. We're not looking at ourselves. And trauma symptoms you may not recognize that these symptoms, such as nightmares or flashbacks, they might not be triggered until further on. Often women we support, many occasions, have talked about suddenly having a flashback when they're seeing a dentist and they're on the dentist chair. So it's how do we pick people up sooner and make sure that they are provided support? And of course, there's so many people that may experience psychological trauma from the birth process that the hospital notes definitely won't pick up. So we need our health professionals to routinely screen parents for birth trauma.
Amy, if anyone, and chances are someone is hearing this now and going, "Oh my goodness, that's me. I'm going through this right now. I would love to get some help." How could people get in touch with those who could help them, including your association?
We are a predominantly information-based organisation, so we have so much. We have so many resources and information available on our website, which is simple. It's just birthtrauma.org.au. We also provide dedicated and free peer support services. So all of our peer workers, in fact, everybody involved in the organisation, has a lived experience of birth-related trauma. And again, it's back into that shame of feeling like you're the only one and feeling quite hopeless. Our peer support workers are walking, talking proof that things can get better. And somebody might want to share their birth experience and find out, well, who is the best professional, health professional for me to see. That could be a mental health clinician, or perhaps it could be a pelvic health physio. It's, you know, it, finding that support can be potluck, and we want to help people get the support that is relevant to their unique set of circumstances. And so that's what we aim to do, is guide people to the care that they need.
Good on you.
It's never too late either. It doesn't matter whether you had a baby a year ago, 6 months ago, or 5 years ago. It's never too late to start getting that support.
Amy Dawes, CEO and co-founder of the Australasian Birth Trauma Association. It's been so good speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for
again.
Sharing your experience and knowledge.
Yeah, thank you so much. Cheers.
Amy Dawes here. And as she mentioned, if you are seeking more information, maybe as a starting point, head to that that website that Amy just mentioned, birthtrauma.org, and see where it can lead and what help can be found there.